now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski.
And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss alongside Tad Kozineski and head coach Clint Wiley. And coach, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Coach's Show. Coming off a big win, shutout victory a couple weeks ago against Overbrook, talk to us a little bit about how that game panned out for you guys.
Well, thanks for doing another Coach's Show. I really appreciate it. I think this year has been outstanding. You guys putting in your time and your effort to hopefully help people understand a little bit more about our football program here. The 36-0 victory against Overbrook was an exciting game, very rewarding. There was a lot of coaching moments throughout the course of the game, and it basically defined a little bit where we're at as a program. Because if you recall, a year ago, we were up 21-0 against an Overbrook team, and we gave up a big play right before half. And then you came out, the second half started raining, it was a whole different ball game, and we held on to win 21-20. Well, this year, coming back about this team growing, the understanding the team concept, and you need championship efforts. Well, we're up 14-0, got the ball on the 2-yard line of Overbrooks with about 3 seconds to go right before half. We roll out. We decide to sprint. Preston throws an interception. Kid catches the ball in the end zone and heads down the sideline where, hey, rewind from last year's game. But we had a sophomore, Devon Tucker, who is a team player. He's a young man who's going to be our fullback next year, who I feel we can build this program around, but he's playing guard for us. You know, he accepted his role to help this team to get us better, for us to be better, and he came out of nowhere and just darted down the field and caught the young man about the 40-yard line. But like I always say, hey, that was a championship effort, and that could have been a difference in a ball game. When we come out the second half, and we rock and roll, and we scored 36 points, and our kids had a nice day, whereas a year ago, somebody would have never made that championship effort. So, great win for our program. Puts us a 4-4. Now we get the great opportunity to be in the playoffs.
Good weapons in that game, dude. Talk about offensively some of the weapons and some of the kids who stepped up and who are going to be, you know, looked to count upon in this upcoming game as well.
Yep. I felt Richard Carter had a nice game running the football. He's a very elusive. He has great hips. He did a nice job of carrying the ball. Zaire Gibson, also another young up-and-coming star for us here, did a nice job of scoring the first touchdown. And he had some nice carries throughout the course of the game. And then, of course, Khalil, Q, Preston, Devin Thompson, Marcus Taylor did a nice job throughout the course of the game. Those are our guys that we count on week in and week out. Those two new guys, Richard Carter and Zaire Gibson, did a nice job. And then it was really nice to see Jerry have a nice catch and then, a touchdown run. I think it was a 70-yard touchdown pass. I mean, he ended up catching about a 20, 25-yard pass, but then he was end up finishing off for a 70-yard touchdown completion, which was nice.
How about defensively? Who stepped up the last couple of weeks?
I think our team's getting better. I thought we did a better job defending the pass this game. The first drive, they moved the ball a little bit down the field, throwing the ball on us. But I think once we settled in, started running a little bit different. We ran a couple different passing coverages to help our kids in the pass game. I thought we did a nice job defending. I thought our guys up front did a better job. JT Thompson, DeJohn Goodall, Shannon Johnson did a nice job up front. Brian Mahardy, Devin Thompson, we asked him to play defensive end on third situations. Had a big sack for a safety in the game. I thought our defense played well. And it's nice always to get a shutout because those don't always come around in high school football.
Talk to us a little bit about the special teams line. Seemed like, and the offensive and defensive line, it seemed like the lines all across the board really controlled that whole game. Every time Overbrook went back to punt, it almost seemed like Devin Thompson was right in their punter's face, almost took the snap from the punter. Did you guys make any changes, or were you guys just that dominant on that line?
No, I think Coach Matthews, our special teams coordinator, did a good job of studying Overbrook's punt formation and did a great job of attacking it, and our kids did a great job of executing his game plan. But I thought up front, I think our guys are getting better, up front, and I agree with you. I think we dominated line of scrimmage, and I say this week in and week out, if football games come down to three things, in my opinion, it's the offensive and defensive line, it's turnovers, and it's third down, and that's what most games come down to. If you can control the line of scrimmage, you don't turn the ball over, and third down, when on offense, you'd be able to continue that drive by gaining that first down, and on defense, stopping the opponents on third down. Those are the keys.
You talked about your pass defense. Mm-hmm. Our color analyst, Kevin Schulz, was raving about Kamir Mack's play in the defense. He knocked down quite a few passes. Has he done something differently? Is he in a different position? What has been the change that really helped him step to the forefront on defense?
Well, one, I mean, Cusick, a young man who I feel is continuing to grow, developing mentally more than physical. I mean, he's a great athlete, has all the athletic ability you can ask for, can change well. He's a physical kid, he's a tough kid, but I think he's growing mentally and understanding the game a lot better. And I think by him understanding the game a lot better and us putting in a different, we put in a cover two pass coverage, I think I allowed him to put himself in a better position to make plays. And like you said, Ted, I mean, he knocked down a couple balls. He almost had one as an interception, but he did really a nice job defending the pass for us.
And you also look at some of the Overbrook tape. Mm-hmm. One thing that we noticed when we were broadcasting the game was when Overbrook was on offense, their quarterback was so far back in the shotgun, 7-8 yards deep. Have you guys ever, is that something you guys saw on the tape?
No.
I've never seen anything like that.
No, never. And as a matter of fact, before the games, I guess I didn't realize this, but if you're beyond 7 yards from the center, you can't hit the center. It's just like a punt formation. So their referee had to let our nose guard know if they were past 7 yards each time. So our guy had to move to the side because, like a punt formation, you can't hit the snapper. And maybe I think that's the reason why they did it, because they were, I think, a little bit intimidated or concerned that they weren't able to block our guys. So they, what their idea, their coaching point was, that, hey, let's back the quarterback up. So hopefully I'll free our snapper up so he don't have to worry about blocking somebody or worry about somebody hitting him as he's snapping the ball. But I don't know if it really helped them, but I think that was their game plan going into it.
It was just a unique scenario.
Yeah.
I think I've never seen that before, and it's one of the first things that we noticed when we started the game, that how far back that quarterback was. I'm like, is this the actual way that they really wanted to do it, or is this part
I think so, just to buy some time, give them some time, because they knew we were coming after them, and I wonder if they, I don't think they think they could have blocked our guys up front.
Yeah, a unique situation because of the weather now, after that Overbrook game, 2 weeks to kind of figure out who you might play, who you might not play, as well as keep the kids entertained, keep them out of trouble. How's this 2 weeks gone for you as a coach and the kids?
I think our kids have prepared really well. They've done everything we've asked of them. What we did was, after the Overbrook game, we came in on Monday. We had a JV game on Monday. And we practiced Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and we gave them Thursday and Friday off. Gave us an opportunity to scout some teams, because at one point, that, I mean, we didn't know if we were going to be the 8th seed, the 7th seed, the 6th seed, or even the 5th seed. So we were breaking down Cedar Creek, we were breaking down West Effort, and also Haddon Heights. I mean, the nice thing for us is we played West Effort, we played Haddon Heights, so we're very familiar with them. So it gave us some time, coaches, to evaluate our team, see what we're doing well and what we need to improve on, but also just the reps in practice, just to be able to get the kids, since, you know, we've been running this wing T offense since the West Effort game, of us just practicing, because it's repetition all the time with the wing T offense. And I think it gave us get our kids healthy again, give them some rest. We didn't beat them up. You know, it was just more of a mental preparation. And our kids have been focused all week. I mean, our kids are excited about playing West Effort. They understand the task is in front of them right now. I mean, this is a great opportunity. All you ask for in life is an opportunity. You get in the playoffs, it's an opportunity. Now it's a new season. We're talking about a new season, fresh start. Just like I mentioned to the kids the other day, I said, I opened up the paper on Saturday. The headlines was Haddonfield's out, you know, because West Effort beat them, Haddonfield was out. Well, these guys who all like their names in the papers, all this stuff, I guarantee you Saturday morning on Varsity Faith, West Effort's out. You know, if our kids come and play like they're capable of playing, and we can beat these guys, we will be the headline of Saturday's paper, you know, knocking off the number one seed.
We're going to get off to a quick break right now. When we get back from the break, more from Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. You're listening to WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Back with more right after this.
Attention all Sterling High School community members. If you are a resident of Laurel Springs, Magnolia, Hinellas, Somerdale, Stratford, or if you have children who attend Sterling High School, the Sterling Board of Education invites you to enjoy the recently renovated state-of-the-art fitness center at Sterling High School. Hours of operation for the fitness center are as follows: Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5:30 a.m. through 7:30 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m. through 9 p.m. If you are interested in using a fitness center, please send an email indicating what day and time you would like to attend with your name, address and phone number to Mr. Matt Sheehan at msheehan@sterling.k12.nj.us or call 856-784-1333, extension 4701.
Man, there's nothing good on the radio anymore. It's the same thing on every station.
Hey, not every station's like that. I just started following At Nights Radio on Twitter. They tweet news about the Sterling community and they have their own radio station.
But what makes them different?
Well, the whole station is run by students.
That's awesome, and I love Twitter. I'm gonna go follow At Nights Radio right now.
Follow At Nights Radio on Twitter to receive news about sports, music, and everything Sterling.
Well, the thrill of watching sports, keeping stats, broadcasting live events? If so, WSHS Sterling High School Radio is looking for student sports directors. As a student sports director, you will get to learn to keep stats and records, help set up broadcast live events while getting a great view of the game. Students will also record and edit sports promos to be aired on WSHS. For more information, stop by room 402 or contact station manager Rob Strauss at wshs.radio@gmail.com. Sterling High School Radio, the exclusive home for live coverage of Sterling Athletics.
And now back to the Coach's Show with Sterling football head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
We mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we met with you before the Overbrook game. Looking into the crystal ball of the playoff picture, and you know, you thought you were going to be against Cedar Creek, and then it turned out that now we have a matchup, a rematch against West Effort. And I don't think the final score of the regular season matchup, which was 35-20, obviously in favor of West Effort, was indicative of how close that game actually was. More so in the latter part of the game, what do you guys have to do in order to flip the tide and put yourselves on the front page of the paper for Saturday morning?
We just got to continue to get better. I preach all the time, you just got to get better. Like the first time we played West Effort, and I took over his program, they beat us 56-13, okay? The next time we played him was 35-20, just improvement. Now I'm hoping Friday night, it's a whole new ball game. Hopefully now we're going to win, you know, beat them for the first time since 2005. So we need to go out and execute. We need to be able to tackle well. We need to be physical. The offensive defense line's got to win the battle. Defense, we got to be able to tackle. We got to defend their pass a little bit better. My mindset's still the same. We got to go in and stop the run. Going in the first time was they're going to have to throw the ball to beat us, which they did. Now, same thought. I still have the same philosophy. They got to throw the ball to beat us, but I'm going to put our guys in a little bit better position to defend the pass. And then on offense, we got to be able to execute the ball and not turn the ball over. And if we can maintain drives and keep the clock going, and you know, our guys being physical up front, I mean, we don't turn the ball over, we got a shot.
We're stat guys here, and one stat that comes out and bites me is your defense only gave up 202 yards rushing against West Effort. It seems weird, only 202 yards,
right,
considering all their other games, they averaged over 400 yards of offense, and they only punted four times this year. Why was our defense so successful in kind of maintaining their running game that day?
I thought our kids executed the game plan really well. I thought we were physical up front, and I know we tackled well. You know, that's the key. When you play a team that's as powerful as West Effort, you got to be able to tackle well, and you also got to be disciplined. You know, the big thing with the wing T is a lot of misdirection stuff. They want your eyes to get in the backfield, where at the end of the day, if you just focus on your task, whatever that read is, and you do your job, not try to do somebody else's job, you'll put yourself in a good position. Now you just got to finish it with tackling. And to me, is if you're disciplined, you do what you're asked to do, and you tackle well, you have a shot. And, I mean, our kids are excited. I mean, anytime you get a chance to play against a big football program, a number one top program in South Jersey, like West Everett's been year in, year out, you're playing against a fullback who's a Division I player and a team that's been beating you for years and years and years. You know, I mean, our kids are stepping up to the challenge. I say this weekend we got a tough football team that's stepping up to the challenge. Now we just got to finish it. Now the playoffs, second part of our season, we got to finish it. It's got to be different than those other four close losses, those four games we lost close.
I want you to take me inside the game on defense for a second. Mm-hmm. You talked about defensively against the wing tee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a linebacker.
Yep.
What are some things I'm looking for or not looking for as a linebacker to keep me where I need to be?
Yeah, the first thing you need to do, I mean, it all depends. I mean, Tad, at the end of the day, I'm going to talk to you from a Sterling High School linebacker.
Okay.
Not different schemes depending on your four-man front, five-man front, depending on how you're going to defend them up front. But our guys, since we leave the guards uncovered, the guys who are going to take you to the football on the wing tee is defending the guards. Your eyes need to be on the guards at all times. Now, with motion, your eyes now may go to the opposite wing because a lot of misdirection stuff, like the sally play, the counters plays coming back, those are the big hitting plays that end up hurting teams. That I'm talking about plays going from 20 to 60 yards. At the end of the day, if you can knock the ball down 2 to 3 yards, now, you know what, you're keeping the ball in front of you, line up, play again. I don't think you're ever going to stop on offense like a wing, like a West Effort or a wing tee offense. You got to be able to maintain them, keeping the ball in front of you, knock them down to 2 to 3 yards of play, and hopefully on third down you get off the field. Like, I mean, we played them well, I thought, the first game, but the problem was we didn't get off the field on third down. First drive, it's 3rd and 8. They run the counter Y coming back. We weren't disciplined enough, but at the beginning of the game, they hit a play for that ends up being 15-yard play. Later on in the game, third down, they throw the streak right up the vertical up the field, catches it, runs it for a touchdown. That was a 25-yard play. So eliminating the big plays. The first matchup, we played well, I thought, defensively. We just didn't play well on third down. You know.
You mentioned their star running back, who is a Division I athlete, mm-hmm. potentially. You guys knocked him out of the game in the first meeting. And any status on his update? Has he fully recovered from that injury?
I think he's fully recovered. I know he was hurting after the game. I hope we're in his head. You know what I mean? Because I think we physically pounded him when we played him. I mean, I know at the end of the game when we were shaking hands, he's a great young man, tough, hard-nosed football kid, but he had some tears in his eye. So we were physical with the young man. So hopefully we're in the back of that game from 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago is still in the back of his mind when we line up tonight.
I got the opportunity to watch some of the West Effort Haddonfield game on TV the other night, which was broadcast through the Comcast network. Watching some of that tape, they have a defensive back that they put on the receiver for Haddonfield. Kid was the receiver for Haddonfield. He was 6'2", roughly a Jerry Crisman type athlete, but their deep back that they put on was 5'7". Do you guys have any, it seems like a similar matchup. Any opportunities for Jerry to get out there again? Do you guys have anything in the works for that?
To answer your question, definitely. We have some thoughts. The West Effort kids are ranging anywhere from 5'7 to about 5'11 back here on the back end. Number 12 is about 6'2. He's a good athlete for them. Their receiver, who plays a little bit back here on the back end. Their quarterback also plays corner, who's about a 5'10 kid, who's a good athlete, physical kid. To answer your question, Rob, we have some plays, some wrinkles in the playbook that we're going to hopefully, you know, be able to throw the ball up to our wide receivers and let them go up and make plays and be athletes.
Let me go a little deeper into that then, because you're in a situation here. There might be nobody, with the exception of people at Sterling High School, to give you any shot to win this game. Now, what is your attitude as an underdog coach coming in? There's some coaches you see in college, high school, pro. They're throwing the kitchen sink out there. Mm-hmm. They kind of go away from their tendencies. They'll throw trick plays in.
Yeah.
I know you can't tell me exactly.
No, I don't. You know what? You're exactly right, Ted. And you bring up a great point. But I honestly feel we're not in that situation here. Okay? Everyone is counting us out. Mm-hmm. And we love that because all we care about is the people in our room. Okay, our team. As long as that team and those coaches believe that we can beat West Effort, that's what it's about. But it's keeping the kids positive, keeping the mind focused, and hey, we need to execute our game plan. I don't think we're in a situation. Yeah, we are 4-4 team with the 8 seed. Yeah, playing against the number 1 team. Yes, sir. But do we need to come up with a whole bunch of trick plays to be able to win this game? No, sir. That's the way I feel. I feel we can come out there. We played well against them. Two things that would disadvantage us right now. Number one, they've been in the playoffs. Okay, they know what to expect. And number two, we're playing at their place. It's their house. So we got to go in as an underdog with those two things against us right now. For our kids, one, handle the pressure being in the playoffs. They've never been there. I've never been there, okay, at the high school level. And then two, walking into the number one seeds into their house and be able to match their intensity level and to be able to continue to play for four quarters. And if our team can do that, I have a great feeling about tonight's outcome.
Fantasy Island, you guys win the toss.
We're taking the ball.
Taking the ball. Because you want to show someone offense. How important in a game like this under the situation you said, even if you don't score, to hold on to the ball and kind of try to find a way to play at least the field position game if you can. Is field position that crucial in the game?
Anytime in a big game, it comes down to field position and special teams, my opinion. Because the offenses and defenses, they are who they are, and they're going to go out and play, and hopefully they don't turn the ball over. But what makes the difference is the field position, okay, and who has a big play in that is your special teams. When you send your punter out on the field, we talked to Marcus Owe. Marcus had an outstanding year punting the football. But where Marcus needs to improve is we're punting the ball, and he's standing on our 50-yard line. We don't need him to hit it in the back of the end zone. Where we need him to do is hit that ball anywhere inside the 20. Because if it's at the 15-yard line, that's 5 yards we gain instead of the ball being at the 20. And that's the biggest thing I try to preach to him, and that's what he's been working on. I mean, the biggest thing is educating these young men. We won a national championship in 2009. The reason why we played a national championship game, because we played in the semifinals. Okay, we downed the ball 5 times inside of William Mary's 5-yard line. And 3 of those 5 was at the 1-yard line. Okay, and they had drives that went all the way up to our 35-yard line. Or 35, and they had once, twice had to settle for field goals. Now, you think if those drives would have started at the 20, where they at now, that could have been touchdowns. And to me, that's the difference. That was the difference in us going to the national championship game, and that's what I've been educating these kids on. Listen, that's how important that one play is of downing the ball inside the 10 to be, because now that team starts inside the 10, starts at the 5 or the 1. Now they have to go all the way to, in high school, to the 20-yard line to be able to kick a field goal, maybe 15. I mean, that's a long drive. You're asking a high school offense to maintain a drive 80-some yards to be able to kick a field goal, where if you give them to the 20, now they only have to go about 60 yards.
You come into this game again. We talk 1 versus 8. We've seen them.
Yeah.
We know what they're going to do. Emotion's going to play a big factor. How important are you as a coach? I've heard coaches talk about when he gets to playoff games, you want the same routine, mm-hmm. want to do everything the same. Is that kind of where you come from as we're getting ready for the game?
Yeah, nothing will change. I hope. Nothing will change. You know, we're still going to have our pregame meal at the same time. We're still going to have our walkthrough. We're still going to get taped at the same time. We're going to get on a bus at the same time like any other away game. We're going to go out in the field, and hopefully we're going to stretch the same way, pregame warm. Everything's going to be the same. Now, the biggest thing is with our kids, the maturity of never being there, and coaches, hey, this is an important game. Why is this important? Because it's our next game. I preach that all the time to guys. There's not one game bigger than the other. Now, to be honest with you, this game is bigger than most games because it's a playoff. But we preach the next game is big because it's the next game. That's all we try to focus on, the next game. So if we can play at a level that we've been playing year in year, I mean, week in and week out, then we got a shot. If we go up there and we're fired up, we're gung-ho, and then, man, we leave everything on the field after that first quarter, we're in trouble. You know, and that's important. I mean, especially with the team that doesn't have experience.
We're in the locker room before the game. Mm-hmm. What's up on the board? What are the kids looking at? The last second instructions.
The three things are always there. Offensive and defensive lines, number one. Turnovers, number two. Number three, third down. And then we have something else we always talk about is, you know, life, what we want in life, okay? An opportunity to beat this team first time since 2005. We haven't won a playoff game here since 2001. You know, that's what we're talking about. You know, make a name for yourself. This program in 2012, when you look back 10, 15 years from now, the seniors, you write your year. This is your team. They don't say, hey, that 2012 team that beat West Deptford. They don't say, who was that sophomore on that team? Who was that junior on that team? Who was the seniors? And that's what these seniors have bought into what we've asked of them, and now they have a chance to write their own chapter for Sterling football. Bring that tradition back. That's what we're trying to do. Bring the tradition back. We're taking the first step getting into the playoffs. Now can we win a playoff game?
Coach, you talk a lot about the matchup with West Deptford, mm-hmm. and 2 weeks ago, a week ago, we had no idea who we were going to play mm-hmm. until last Friday mm-hmm. or Saturday afternoon. Advantage or disadvantage to be facing West Deptford, the number one seed, as opposed to Cedar Creek?
Right. Here's what we said. the state championship, South Jersey Group 2 state championship runs through West Deptford High School. Okay? Do you want to play them in the first round or are you going to play them in a championship game? Well, we couldn't control that. So we're playing them in the first game. So everybody understands in our program, the championship's at West Deptford. For us to win the state championship, we got to beat West Deptford. So what a better opportunity to play them in the first game. We're going to find out how good we are. And I'll tell you what, we win this game tonight, our kids are going to be skyrocketing and be ready to go, and hopefully we get a chance to play against Haddon Heights again.
All right, Coach, best of luck tonight against West Deptford. Again, kickoff coming up shortly, but again, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, I want to thank you guys. And I just real quick, just so you guys know, I really appreciate everything you guys do, and especially Tad. I think it was Saturday night, it was like midnight, we're texting one another back and forth, wanting to know when's the last playoff game, when Sterling won their last playoff game. And I told the kids, it was 1992, and Tad goes, I got to look through one more book, and then he found out it was too long. But I preached to the kids about 1992. We honored them at Paulsboro. I'm about karma. There's a reason why teams are here. There's a reason why that 1992 team was here, and hopefully we're going to find out for sure if that's the reason why they were here after tonight's game. But I really appreciate everything you guys do, and go Knights.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. That's going to do it for the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Stay tuned for live action coming up right after this.